Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Access big savings every day, all in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, it is time for TMZ.
Hey, it's time.
It's time.
It's time for TMG.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to TMG. I'm your host, Travis Patton Sr. I enjoy discovering and sharing real-life moments of inspiration from everyday people. And this show is about finding moments of inspiration for our everyday lives. And look, and if you're going to tell me something, then tell me something good. Hi, everybody! Welcome to a brand new episode of TMG. I'm your host, Travis Patton Sr. Hey, guys, real quick, do me a favor. Don't forget to visit, share, subscribe, and like our YouTube page. That's Tell Me Something Good with a capital T. And as always, I want to give a huge shout out to my biggest supporter, my biggest fan, my lovely wife, Nicole. Hey, girl, how you doing? I know you're watching. I know you're listening. Man, I am excited to be here today and share today's episode with all of you, with each of you. And whether this is your very first time tuning in, if this is your first time tuning in, do me a favor. I want you to type the word new, N-E-W, in the chat. Type the word you. Go ahead, type it, N-E-W. And it doesn't matter which language you type it in. Go ahead, type the word new. And if you're listening to this on Spotify, or if you listen to this on iHeartRadio or Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to us on, go ahead and just say, I'm new! I'm new! I'm so glad to have each and every one of you joining us today. I'm excited to be here. Now, guys, we have a wonderful topic that we're going to talk about today. But before we get started with all that, let me thank all the people who have been here ever since we've been streaming. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really appreciate you. You know I do. Guys, listen, everybody knows that this show is all about finding moments of inspiration in our everyday lives. So if you have an inspiring story that you'd like to tell and maybe come on a show, drop us an email at tellmesomething21@gmail.com. That's tellmesomething21@gmail.com. And he said, well, Travis, I know someone that has an interesting story that would be great on your show. It would be a great guest on your show, but I don't want to come on a show, man. I'm a little camera shy. That's okay. Send us their information anyhow at tellmesomething21@gmail.com. And guess what? And you can even remain anonymous if you like. So there you go. Guys, I'm going to go ahead and play our sponsorship information and get it out the way because I cannot wait to talk about today's episode topic with you and share it. It's going to be good. Don't go away. I know you're just now coming in. Come on in, guys. Get a seat. Get ready. Get comfortable. We're going to get started.
Walmart is a proud associate sponsor of TMG Tell Me Something Good podcast. Please use the special link, bit.ly/tellmesomethinggood, and visit our sponsor. Remember, I may earn a commission when you buy through this link. Fanatics is the place to go for all of your officially licensed sports gear from your favorite sports and sports teams. Use the special link bit.ly/tellmesomething21 and pay a visit to our sponsor today. Remember, I may earn a commission when you buy through this link.
Breaking your phone sucks. Breaking your phone, then trying to sell it online, sucks. Breaking your phone, selling it online, only to find out that the money you'll only get for it sucks. Breaking your phone, selling it online for peanuts, shipping it, and finding out that you got scammed, sucks. Gizmogo makes selling your phone fast, safe, and simple by paying you the highest price for your device. And with Gizmogo's free unlimited shipping and price guarantee, millions of people are starting to sell on Gizmogo. Fast, safe, simple. Gizmogo, the best way to.
There it is, guys. Please visit one of our affiliate sponsors. The information is right there on the screen. Yeah, and also, if you're not watching this, listen up for it later, guys. You will hear that information. Guys, thank you so much for being here today. Guys, if you did not catch today's topic, today's episode, guys, title is called Splitting Image. Yeah, Spitting Image. Spitting Images. Now, I don't know about you, but let me ask you guys a question. What comes to mind when you hear the word spitting images? When you hear something is a spitting image of something, or this is a spitting image of that, or this is a spitting image of this person, what comes to mind when you hear the word spitting images? What kind of pictures kind of come to your mind? Yeah, go ahead, type it in chat. Tell me, what do you see? What kind of comes to mind when you hear spitting images? When we say someone is the spitting image of someone else, typically we think about the physical characteristics someone has, right? Maybe their uncle was tall and now they're tall, or maybe their parent was tall, or one was short, or one was more robust. He said, man, you're the spitting image of your father, or your spitting image of your mother, or your uncle, or your grandmother. And when we think of spitting images, we think of something that is a direct reflection, an absolute reflection. It reminds us of something or someone. When we say it's a spitting image, maybe a child is the spitting image of a parent or some other adult they may be related to. There are millions of children here in the United States and abroad who are considered at risk for various reasons. And I brought up spitting images because we're going to talk about how these children who are considered at risk are the spitting images of something else. And the way to help them is to help what we've already seen. There are millions of children here in the United States and abroad who are considered at risk for various reasons. And they have become the spitting image of the environments they grow up in and their emotional or physical settings. Guys, our special guest today will discuss ways to address this growing crucial matter from a different perspective. Guys, do me a favor. Give a huge TMG welcome to Richard Ramos. Richard, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm good, man. With all that energy, I guess, you know, I'm even better than when I first got on.
Richard, I'm happy that you're here with us today to shed this light on this, man. I can't wait to dive into this, Richard. I told you before the show, this is going to be good.
Well, let's get to it.
Let's get to it. Richard, if you don't mind, I know you and I talked before the show, like I do a lot of my guests, and we shared a lot of good information, and guys, we really broke bread really, really well, and I learned a lot about you, Richard. Please do me a favor, introduce yourself, if you will, to everyone that's listening, and let us know a little bit about yourself and what it is that you do, Richard.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me, Travis. I'm Richard Ramos, and I'm the founder and author of Parents on a Mission. And the best way to sum up what I do, Travis, is I develop parent and youth leaders for the betterment of community quality of life. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. You know, the community, the quality of life in the community, the citizens that live there, the businesses, the thrivingness of it, in my opinion, depends on the people, on the citizens that are living there and working there. And I believe leadership is the key, and it starts in the home. And that's what I focus my time and energy on, is developing parent and youth leaders to better the quality of life in our communities.
Absolutely fantastic. And you know what, Richard? You're right. You're 100% correct. It does begin at the top. Everything begins at home, because the first interaction, I learned this, Richard, the first interaction that children will have will be the interaction they have with parents, will be the first interaction they have. It also will be the interaction that they learn to have with themselves. That's yeah, right. I know we don't like to talk about that much, but the our individual interactions, our personal interactions that we have with ourselves, they matter just as much as the interactions that we will have outside the home. And it is those family dynamics, Richard. It is those family dynamics, those first family dynamics, that have a huge impact on our communities, our neighborhoods, on our society. And we look at society as a whole, Richard, and people think, oh man, it's so bleak, it's so big, problematic. How can we fix this big problem with so many kids at risk? It's so big, it's so huge. And you said, wait a minute, let's just start where it all begins, at home.
Yes, sir.
Let's start with how that child views themselves. Let's start how that child views themselves within that family dynamic, within that family, because how that child views themselves in that home and within that family ultimately will reflect in how they handle and interact with everybody outside that door, Richard.
That's what I believe, man. And, you know, we forget about that. As you said, people are looking for the answer always everywhere else, out there somewhere, as if the answer is, you know, it's more sports, more gyms, more parks, more pools, more playgrounds, more prisons, more police, more activity, more this, more that, more education, more. If all of those things, which those things are good, but if those things were the answer, we would have solved these youth problems and violence problems a long time ago. The truth is, it's not working because we're neglecting the authority of parents in the home and the role model that they provide. And unless we fix that, we're just going to continue on this road of seeing the detriment of our communities.
Richard, man, you hit the nail on the head there. A lot of times, we try to find things that are replacements for the parents. Now, here it is, when we're in a technological age, and it's the age where everything is push button and serve me right now. I could push it right now, serve me right now. I remember coming up, my grandmother had to teach us how to cook. Now, everything is, y'all just throw it in the microwave. Everything's push button, or throw it in the air fryer. Everything is push button. But it wasn't the lesson of teaching me how, it wasn't the food that was important. It was the time spent with the child passing information along.
Exactly.
And what's happening is that information, that time being spent with that child, that's being substituted for a lot of different things. If we needed more parks, that you said, it would have solved it. If we needed more policing, that would have solved it. If we needed more of this, that would have solved it. We've had more of those, Richard, but we neglect that the parents have got to get involved and get our hands dirty and passing along that information to the next generation.
Yep, that's right, man. And that's what Parents on a Mission is all about. It's about parents understanding the importance of their leadership, that you as mom and dad are the most important people in the community. A lot of times when I ask crowds or parents that, who's the most important person in the community? You know, it's always the politician, the priest, the pastor,
right.
School, all these other, the coach, you know, which all of those people are good people, but they are not the most important person when it comes to raising your children. It's you, mom and dad. You are the number one asset in the community, and you need to know that, not forget that, and keep practicing that.
Absolutely. And here's what I understand. Parents, I get it. We're busy. We have a tough schedule. We have to get the kids up in the morning, prepare them for school, get them for their school day. We have they're the tutors, come home, help them with their homework, guide them through life. You know, you're a counselor, you're a mom, your dad, and if you're a single parent, you're the counselor, you're the mother and the dad, you're the dad and the mother, you know, you're the grandmother. And if you don't have good relationships, dynamics in the family, so now you're the peacemaker, you become everything. And sometimes with all this going on, all this noise happening, Richard, sometimes that quality time of sharing gets lost. And they say, well, you know what? Just go watch the tablet. Oh, just go watch the TV. And it gets lost. And a lot of information gets missed. And we're going to talk about this later on. We're going to talk about the need for apprentices later on and what happens when there are no apprentices later on. Where these events were there events though, Richard? I hear your passion behind this, but I'm interested in something totally different right at this moment. Were there ever events in your life that helped propel you in this direction of support for families and communities? And was there something ever in your personal life that kind of propelled you in this area?
Well, I think part of it, I grew up in Northeast Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you know anything about Northeast LA, you know, there's a lot of good things there as well, but it's also gang infested, drug infested, violence infested. And so I grew up there. I grew up with a single mother raising five children. My father was an alcoholic. That's kind of a typical story, you know, that a lot of us have had of the way we grew up and we saw these things. And so I think that made an impact on me. At first, of course, my main focus, I was an athlete, you know, and I wanted to play professional baseball. And so that kind of kept me from crossing that line. But I went home, and that's the way we lived. The gangs, the drugs, the violence, the hanging out, the partying. But I also saw a lot of domestic violence in my home until my mother finally made my dad leave. So those kinds of things, I think, left an impression on me that I kind of never forgot. And as I got older and started, you know, looking at my career, I knew that I somehow wanted to give back, wanted to help, wanted to provide some kind of solution. And that's how I got started with this developing parent and youth leadership.
And that's certainly understanding. And I'm sorry to hear that your mom had to deal with those things, Richard. You and your brothers and your sisters had to deal with those things. But when you said something, though, you said, no, the typical things that we, you know, the typical things you hear. And it's such a commonplace thing.
Unfortunately.
It's such a commonplace thing where people's story kind of begins the same, so to speak. It may start off, and once upon a time, there was man and a woman. And then all of a sudden, there's only one person left in that character, the woman with all the kids or the man with all the kids.
Right.
And somehow the story changes. It starts off, once upon a time, there was a man, and then there was a woman. And then something occurs, Richard. And then all of a sudden, something occurs. And when something occurs, now it's nothing like it began. It's nothing like it started. And now each story begins to matriculate into something different. Everything begins to change. And you said, man, it's just, you know, typical story. And we want to talk about those typical stories. Because those typical stories, Richard, they cause a lot of spitting images.
That's right.
Things begin to look the same. The only way it's going to be typical, Richard, that means it had to happen before. It wouldn't be a typical story if it didn't happen previously. So
that's right.
It is repeating itself and it's reproducing itself. So that means when you look in the mirror, you see the same thing that this family member saw. You see the same thing this person saw, or the same thing this culture saw, or the same thing in this culture. So it's the spitting image factor. And I call it a spitting image factor because it continues to reproduce itself over and over again. I call it the spitting image factor. Now, you talk about children who are at risk, right? And we hear the term at risk. We hear it a lot. We was talking about it before the show. And back to your typical story. We hear the term at risk. It's typical, at risk kids. And right. We hear the term so much, Richard, that we become a little desensitized to it because it's so common. It's such a common word now, such a common phrase now. And it's so common, we kind of ignore it. It's kind of like having a bump on your arm. You don't remember that it's there until you bump it against it or somebody brush against it and you get irritated. You go, ouch, man, I forgot I had that bump there.
Right.
But because you got used to it being there. Your mind has tuned out the pain. Your mind has tuned out the discomfort. Your mind has tuned out what caused it. Your mind has tuned out everything that led up to the discomfort because it's common now. You're still at risk, but it's coming now. So we hear the term at risk a lot so that there's some clarity about at risk. Are there certain factors that weigh in on exactly what an at-risk child is? For example, environment, mental health, economics, because people can give their own spin. Are there kind of certain factors that we can go by that can really kind of give us a groundwork of what at-risk really means?
Yeah, I mean, all those things are true. But in my opinion, Travis, every child in America isn't at risk. And that's because of the bombardment of the 365, 24/7 now of the media, music, magazines, the movies that are shown. I mean, nowadays, when you and I were growing up, it wasn't like this. You know, we went home and we didn't have access to our friends. There was one phone, maybe one TV with three channels. And, you know, once you got home, you were cut off from everybody else. But that's not the way it is today. I remember, you know, that's how, you know, old I am. When at 12 o'clock, TV would go off and they play the Star Spangled Banner and there was no more TV. That's not what it is today. And it has been for a long time. This is 24/7 bombardment of negativity, negative news, negative movies, negative music with lyrics that a lot of parents don't even realize what their kids are listening to. So those, to me, in my opinion, every child is at risk, except if they live in a home where parents are paying attention, building that relationship and that attachment that is so important. Of course, poverty is a risk factor. Domestic violence is a risk factor. Wherever there's gangs and drugs and those kinds of things, those are all risk factors. But it goes beyond those things nowadays. And to me, you know, like wealthy families are at risk too. They have different problems than rich kids and rich parents have different problems than poor kids and poor parents. They have a whole different realm of, you know, entitlement and being lazy.
Handed
to them. Well, that's a risk factor as well. So to balance both sides of that. But when you have a mom and a dad, or if a single like I did, a single mom, a great mom who's paying attention, who's involved, who's building relationship, who's making you the priority of their life, then those kids have a chance. And that's why I am where I'm at today, because of a single mother who did those. Even though I went off the rails, you know. So did you. Don't smile.
Oh, man, so did I, man. I'm smiling because I'm like, I'm thinking, I'm having flashbacks when you said that. I'm thinking, man, so, I'm thinking off the rail, dude. I wouldn't even know where near the rails.
Yeah. So, you know, we all, you know, it was almost impossible. But what was planted in us, those seeds of goodness and ethics and righteousness and absolutely. Honesty and those kinds of things, those seeds grew. And we got those seeds from parents and probably other people. But a lot of kids do not get that. And that's where that spitting image comes, because what you plant is what you're going to grow.
Oh, say it again, Richard.
What you plant is what you're going to grow. And if you're not planting images of positivity and influence and power and those good things, then all the negativity and irresponsibility and all those things, violence and et cetera, that's what you're going to grow in your own kids.
And, you know, Richard, man, listen, that right there says a lot. Now, you said what you plant is what you're going to grow. That means I get a picture. If any of you, anybody listening, has ever planted a flower, you ever planted anything in a garden, anything, what if you plant anything at all, and it grows. But it grows because you initiated it by planting it, by planting. You initiated growth by planting something. And we have to understand, we initiate growth by what we plant. Initiate growth. And say, well, they just won't develop. We have to initiate the growth. I don't know why they won't. We have to initiate the growth. Somebody has got to start it. Somebody has got to start it somewhere. Now, I don't know whether anybody reads the Bible, follow the Bible or not. You know, I'm not trying to convert you. But one of my things I like in the Bible, it says that there's one person who plants a seed, one person waters the seed, but God gets the increase from the work that was done. So what this means is this. The parent has to begin to plant the seed. Someone else can come along, maybe a mentor, or as we would say, a mentor would water the seed. The society would benefit from that good seed that has been planted. But right. It has to be initiated at home. And we talked about some of the factors, Richard, economics, child abuse, you know, domestic violence, drug abuse in the home. These factors can play a part. It can impact what's being planted in that child. And it can, in turn, it can impact the spitting image of what we see. We right. begin to see the spitting image. And I have a lot of friends who are teachers and educators. And when they go, when children come to school, when they come to school and they see certain behaviors, they don't get upset with the child. To them, that is a key sign of what is occurring at home.
Yeah, that's my story, man. I'll quickly tell you, how did Parents on a Mission get started? I was an at-risk counselor at a school. And as I was listening to these kids, you know, tell me their problems, eventually I said, man, I'm a young parent myself. I can't just believe everything these kids are telling me. So I decided to do home visits. And when I went to their homes, that's when life changed for me, because I saw the dysfunction, the lack of respect, the lack of responsibility, the lack of communication. And I said to myself, I'm fighting a losing battle, because everything I'm building up when these kids in my office at school is being torn down when they go home. Mm. And I knew at that moment, if I really wanted to help my students, I needed to stop being a youth mentor and become a parent mentor. And that's how Parents on a Mission got started. And I was at a last part of this story. I was at a birthday party not long after a gang member had been killed. And the grandfather of the child came up to me and said, Richard, you need to get together and talk to these kids. They listen to you, because at that time I had a reputation for helping kids out of gangs. Uh-huh. I said, listen, I have done that and I will always do that. But let me ask you this question. That's not the best way to handle the problem. He said, well, what do you mean? I said, look it. If you were to walk down the street here in your neighborhood and you were to look at all the flowers in the gardens of your neighbor and you saw that those flowers were dry and wilted and dying, who would you rather spend your time talking to, the flowers or the gardener? He looked at me and he said, oh, wow, I never thought about it like that. I said, yeah, let me explain to you. The flowers in our yard are like the children in our home. And the problem in the community is everybody wants me to be their gardener. And I can't do it by myself. I need more parents or more gardeners to take care of their own flowers. And that's how Parents on a Mission got started.
Richard, man, that's deep right there, Richard. That's some good stuff right there. That's some good stuff. That right there, Richard, you know, and it's like, again, we said early in the beginning, we want to a lot of times remove the parent from the home or remove the parent from their responsibility as being a child, of being a parent to the child, and you cannot remove that parent's responsibility to be a parent and expect that child to grow up and resemble the things that we want them to have in society. And as parents, we have to plant the right things in our children. You said you made home visits and you noticed that everything that you were planting in a child was being uprooted and challenged when they went home.
That's right.
So you're building them up and telling them that they can accomplish anything in life. You build them up and tell them, hey, look, you can do this. I know you can. And you're building them up. And when they get home, they get the complete opposite. And do you think maybe, Richard, they get the complete opposite because the parent may be having a tough time dealing with the things that they are dealing with in life? Because think about this. We're talking about spitting images, right? Maybe the parent never got a chance to feel that they could be more, so they aren't able to provide more to the child.
Well, that's exactly what I found, Travis, and why in Parents on a Mission, the very first thing we teach is personal growth. Mm. How to grow your emotional maturity. How do you do that? Because what I found is so many parents, they're hurting from mm-hmm. past wounds and hurts and pain and the way they were abused and the way they were raised and the way where they were talked down to. And you're exactly right. But the problem is then they become parents and then they just repeat the cycle. Remember this, I always tell parents this, growing old is automatic. Okay, I didn't get gray and lose my hair. I didn't have to try. It was automatic. I didn't always have gray hair. I had dark hair. Without trying, I got old. But growing up is not automatic.
Woo!
You can have a 35-year-old dad with a 15-year-old mentality. And then he starts having kids, and that kid becomes 13 or 14, giving him problems. And now you have a 15-year-old mentality dealing with a 13-year-old mentality. And that is a big problem in a lot of homes.
And they're butting heads. Because what you got two teenagers doing this.
Right.
You got two teenagers going just like that, and it's tough. It's hard for them.
Yeah, I want to emphasize what you said, which is that a lot of times it's because that mom or dad never had a chance to get healed themselves, to be listened to and understood and encouraged and supported. And that's what Parents on a Mission is all about.
Love it, man. Absolutely love it. We're going to dive into that piece of this as well, spitting images. We're going to dive into that as well. Now, we're discussing today the spitting images. And how these children become the spitting image of what's around them and what's in their world, how they begin to look like their circumstances. And that's key. They begin to look just like their circumstances. If they're impoverished, they begin to look like that. If they have mental issues, they begin to look like that. If they have difficulty processing and communicating their emotions and their feelings, they begin to look like that. They begin to look like their circumstances. Now, you approach this from a different perspective. And the perspective that you approach it from, what is the perspective in relation to what these children face on a day-to-day basis?
Well, that's what we start with. Rather than parents, this is the difference between Parents on a Mission and other parenting classes.
Mm-hmm.
Most parenting classes are teaching parents how to fix their children. Parents on a Mission is teaching parents how to fix themselves, how to fix ourselves, to work on ourselves. That's the image that we got to fix. If all we do is look at our kid, oh, he's this, he's that, she's this, she's that. You're not this, you're not that. Oh, why can't you be more like...
Mm-hmm.
You know what? You're focusing on the wrong image. The image we got to focus on is ourself. That's the one we got to focus on so that our kids see a reflection of an image of positivity, et cetera, growth, professionalism, you know, all these kinds of positive things that we want. But if we ourselves are not living and developing that image, how can we expect our children to be any different than what they're living with every day? Now, there is a hope, but we'll talk about that later. Of course, we can escape that, and there's ways to get around that for kids. But I'm just talking about starting in the home. What we teach mom and dad is we don't want to focus on the things that rebellious youth do. We want to focus on the things that create rebellious youth.
Man, listen, Richard, I knew this was going to be good when we talked, Richard. I knew it. Richard, you said you focus on a parent. Now, I want to talk about something you said. You said, as parents, sometimes parents are, say, I would say caregivers, because it might not be your parent. Maybe your aunt, right, sure. You know, whoever it is.
Yeah, whoever.
So a lot of times, Richard, anybody here has ever looked in a mirror? Ever looked in the mirror, whether it be on your phone or the camera on your phone, and you see your reflection, or maybe it's in the water and you look in the water, and you see your reflection. And if you don't like what you see in the reflection, you don't break the mirror.
Right.
You fix what's standing in front of the mirror.
There you go. That's it. And that's the goal. That's the key. That's the solution. That's the answer. Because when young people see their mom or dad transform into a mature and emotionally mature individual, where you used to be yelling and screaming, and all of a sudden you're not because you're growing, and then they say, whoa, man, what's happening with my dad? What's happening with my mom?
Yeah.
And they start reflecting that in their own life. And I've seen this over and over and over again, Travis.
Spitting image. And we think that it doesn't matter. God, I'm telling you, guys, listen, we're going to dive into something that's going to show you why it's so important, why it is so important. Now, you focus on a lot on educating the parents and caregivers in children's lives. And it's obvious that it needs to be. And I want to say obvious, but it needs to be done. What kind of pushback? Now, I know you do, because listen, I know you get pushback from the kids. But now you're talking about going to an adult who's 30, 40, or 20 years old, who has their own career, they've made mistakes, and they're going to say, well, you can't tell me something, you're not perfect, just like I'm not perfect. We all make mistakes, and they get defensive, and they want to fight, and they will argue back and forth.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Access big savings every day, all in the Kroger app. Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Especially if you're Richard, if you go to their home and you're gonna come to their house and see what's happening, and when you try to speak with them, they sit and tell you, who are you telling?
Yeah.
So what kind of pushback have you experienced, and what is the most common pushback that you get?
Well, okay, here's the beauty, man. The only pushback I ever get is the parents that don't want the help. All the parents who come to, wow. I have never had any parent involved in Parents on a Mission. And these are parents in prison. These are parents in jail. These are parents in nonprofit organizations. These are parents in churches and school districts. I've never had. And we talk about some tough stuff. Because Parents on a Mission, the curriculum is a challenging a curriculum. I'm challenging parents to basically to grow up. So
right.
To
yeah,
answer your
exactly.
question, the only pushback I get is parents who say, I don't want to do that. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to read your book. I don't want to come to your classes. And they just don't want it. And so I can't help them like you. We can't help somebody that doesn't want help. That's just common sense.
Wow. Wow. That's incredible. And I knew you had to have some pushback somewhere. I knew, because you know, you're talking to an adult at that point, And at that point, they're like, well, you can't tell me anything. You can't tell me nothing. You can't tell me how to run my life. And we're going to address that, guys. Listen, we're going to address that as to why that is. So my thing is this. When I was growing up, this is just me, and you and I talked about this. When I was growing up, I was born in 1969. Yeah, don't laugh at me. I'm 55, guys. Just turned 55 in December. That's right. I know I don't look it. I know. When I was growing up, there was a trade school that you could go to for almost every profession. And I remember the high school that I went to here in Alabama, the high school I went to, they had a secondary school that you could go to learn a trade. You could actually go and get out of regular classes and learn a trade, and it would count as grades. I kid you not. So they had a trade school for almost everything. And in a trade school, if you're not familiar with a trade school, is they teach you a trade like HVAC or doing, you know, air conditioning and heating in your home, electrical, plumbing, carpentry, woodwork, things like that, metal shop, metalwork. It was an auto shop. They would teach you a trade. And it would be something they could do every day. So they would teach you a trade. And there was a trade school for almost every profession. Richard, if you could name it, there was a trade school for it. I promise you it was. If you wanted to be a plumber, there was a trade school for it. If you wanted to be an electrician, there was a trade school for it. And I know some people out there, Richard, they remember these. They remember these trade schools.
Yeah.
And once you finish trade school, you would then go and work with someone else. You would go work with someone else who's already working in that profession. They were a master plumber, master electrician, already a carpenter. They've already had a master in carpentry. So they were already had years of experience and would do these things. And when you finish trade school, you go work with someone who knew how to do what you're trying to do, who already had experience to do what you're trying to do in life. And you would become what they called an apprentice. You would be their apprentice. They would be the person who would mentor you, train you, or whatever, but you would be their apprentice. Now, funny thing about it is they would teach you, they would train you, and after some time, you would then be able to go and begin working in that field yourself. But also, you would be able to take on another apprentice yourself. And you would teach someone else the same way that someone taught you. So it would continue to go on and go on. So you would always have plumbers. You would always have electricians. You would always have HVAC individuals. You always have somebody working on your air conditioner. You always have somebody working on your car. Because that apprenticeship would keep going and keep going and keep going. And somebody was always learning and always doing and always passing along and passing down that information. They would teach you. They would train you. You could go do it someone else. Now, Richard, what I found out is this. In that community, and what would happen, Richard, is this. There will always be a voice for that profession in the community. There will always be someone who could work cars. There will always be someone who could do carpentry. Always be someone who could build and do, because that information continued to be passed down. They will always take on an apprentice. So it will always be a voice in the community for that profession. Tell us from your experience how the dwindling numbers of apprentices, and I know the pretty word that we use today, Richard, is called mentorship. But it's the same thing. It's an apprentice.
Right.
So it's the same thing. So tell me how the dwindling numbers of apprentices, somebody's willing to take on an apprentice ship or mentors with the next generation or with the youth that we see at risk, how this impacts our communities, neighborhoods, society as a whole.
Yeah, now watch this, Travis. This is how I deal with that. Everybody says it takes a village to raise a child. I say it does not take a village to raise a child. It just takes good parenting. If you believe that the village, it takes the village, how many of you are willing to turn your child over to the village? And you know what?
Exactly.
Nobody ever raises their hand, because the truth is, we don't know who we can trust in our society today. That saying, it takes a village to raise a child, was meant for a different time, a different culture. From the White House to the church house to the schoolhouse, we don't know who we can trust anymore. And so the apprenticeship has to be in the home. It's about mom and dad. It's about depending on the parents. And this is why we teach parents, the community does not build your family. Your family is building the community. And it's about citizenships. Now, let's think about this apprenticeship and these new people that are going out in the community. Here's the thing. Where do the citizens or the apprentices of the community come from? Citizens go to church. They don't come from church. They go to school. They don't come from school. They go to businesses. They work there. They don't come from there. Where then do the citizens or the apprentices come from? They come from your home. And here's the question, mom and dad. Their question is this. Therefore, what kind of citizen, apprentice, are we sending into the neighborhood every day, into the schoolhouse every day, into the church every day, and ultimately as an employee? Who are we sending out? Because they're coming from our home. We can't depend on the community to apprentice our children. We need to be that master carpenter, that master positive person, or what, however you want to use the metaphor that Travis is using. It has to be us. And therefore, then we send into the community, rather than being afraid of them being overtaken by all the darkness, we send out a light. We send out a leader. We send out a child who can be a light to the darkness in the community because of what you, as a mom and dad, have planted in them, the way you've influenced them as their apprentice, and they're your apprentice, or they're your disciple, if you want to put it that way. That is the key to the community. That is how communities thrive, is because of solid, respectful, obedient children who know how to get along in society, care about their neighbors, do a good job, not cut corners, have integrity, on and on and on. That's the kind of employee employers want. They want to be able to hire somebody.
Exactly.
You can teach skill, but morals and ethics and integrity and character, that has to come from the home.
That's the first place of apprenticeship.
That's right.
It begins at the home. And guys, remember I told you this. I said, back in the day when I was growing up, man, there was always a school for any kind of trade. And there was always the voice of a plumber represented in the community because somebody was a plumber. Somebody went to school that had the trade. There was always a voice of a carpenter in the neighborhood because that was always represented. The carpenter was always represented because
See, Travis, but what we need are more parents on a mission. You know, you're using the metaphor of more carpenters, more plumbers, more electricians. Yes, we need those people. But in order to deal with society that we're talking about here, the spitting image, we need more parents.
Exactly.
To reproduce that quality of life individual.
And we mentioned something earlier. We talked about something earlier, and I'm going to say this right now, Richard. We talked about earlier how spitty images. We talked about, man, maybe the parents can't give what they never got within themselves.
That's right.
Maybe they can't give it because they never got it. And that's we talked about there's always the plumbers always had a voice in the community because somebody went to school for it. Electricians had a voice in the community because they went to school for it. Maybe the parents never got their voice. Right now, there are parents and caregivers who are listening that as a child, you were never allowed the freedom to express your thoughts, your feelings, and your emotions. You grew up emotionally distant from others because you never got a chance to express how you felt. If you cried, what you crying for? If you got upset, what you're angry for? They would get angry at you because you're angry. They would get upset with you because you're hurting, and they could not comfort you because they couldn't. They never got comforted. When their hearts was broken, when they had disappointment, they can't comfort you because they never got it. I'm not making any excuses for anyone, but what I'm saying is you can't overlook what you don't know. And the things that the parent is what's reflecting in the child, the spitting images that's reflecting in the child are the same spitting images that's reflecting in the parent from their parents, from their caregivers. And their voice, Richard, was never heard.
That's right.
No one took the time to hear them. And Richard said, this is where he goes, he steps in and speaks to the parents about bettering and healing yourself so you can heal your children in a much, much better way.
Yeah, and I went through that myself, Travis. I was not an affectionate, understanding dad when I first got started. As a young father, I didn't know any better.
Are you kidding me? None of us did. Yeah.
So, you know, we did our best, but I had to learn how to be affectionate and more understanding and more patient. And, you know, I got better and better, and it's a lifelong journey. I'm still growing in that. I haven't, you know, you never arrive. I'm not
perfect. Never arrive.
It's an ongoing life process that I'm still going through now. I still make mistakes, but the issue is we can be healed. We can get better.
Correct.
If we want to, number one, and number two, if we have the resources there. And that's why I do Parents on a Mission. That's why I wrote my book. That's why I do what I do, because I want to be at least one resource. There's a lot of other resources, obviously, but I want to be at least one of those.
Absolutely, Richard. Absolutely. What are some, we talked about this today, but what are some practical things that a parent, and we talked about how there's no perfect parent, there's nothing perfect, and we all continue to learn. And the reason we continue to learn is because our children continue to learn. They continue to evolve. As they evolve as individuals, we evolve as parents in how we interact with our children. What are some practical things that a parent and a caregiver can do to begin to educate themselves to better the relationship they have with their children in order to move the needle from at risk?
Yeah, we teach six basic principles. I can go over them very quickly. Number one, as I already mentioned, the first thing we do is we teach parents how to grow themselves. If I can get a parent to say, hey, Richard, okay, you got me convinced. Okay, I need to grow. I need to emotionally mature. How do I do that? Mm-hmm. And that's the first lesson. We teach them how to do that through the power of their mind, their thought life, the power of their choices, and forgiveness, the power of forgiveness. So those are whole lesson. Secondly, we talk about the proper use of authority. Too many parents abdicate their authority to the counselor, the coach, grandma, and everybody else. But understanding, no, mom and dad, you are in authority, but you have to use your authority properly. And we teach how to earn respect for your authority. Third, we talk about the proper use of discipline, because today discipline is a controversial, not only today, but for a long time. Subject is a controversial, but a lot of too many kids are being abused in the name of spanking. And so that's something that I don't know any other parent curriculum that talks about it, but I do talk about it because I made a promise to those kids many years ago. If you tell me what's really going on in your life at home or why you're screwing up out here, I will stand for you. I will speak for you. And that's when they began to share with me these things. And so we talk about the proper use of discipline, the difference between punishment and discipline. Those are two different things. The next thing we talk about is community building, which really is about citizenship. And as I already said, the community is based on citizens. Where do they come from? They come from the home. And so we talk about a whole lesson on community building and how you do that in your home every day. From there, we talk about then reconciliation, meaning that all families have problems. My family has problems. That's not the issue, and that is not abnormal, and it's nothing to fret about. What is the issue is how do we handle the problems? How do you reconcile when you have falling outs, arguments, you know, all these kinds of things? And we talk about how you reconcile, how you initiate and have the humility to ask for forgiveness or
look for Richard, man, that's that.
And the last one is loyalty, because that is the battle that parents are facing today. And here's the question: who is going to win the battle for the loyalty of your son, your daughter? Their heart, their mind are being influenced, as I already said today, bombarded by all these social media influencers. And what do they want? The prize is the pledge of loyalty from your daughter to them and not you. And so we, in that lesson, we talk about how do you win the loyalty of your children. So those are the six principles that we teach to help parents be empowered and to grow and to solidify their attachment and connection with their kids.
Richard, these six steps could be a whole another episode all by itself.
Bring me back. Bring me back.
Oh, you will come back. The one I want to look at real quick, reconciliation. You said the parents must be humble enough to come back and say, man, I'm not sorry. Do that the right way. I am so sorry. Yeah. I had good intentions, but my good intentions, I didn't do it the right way. I went overboard. You know, I remember Richard, when I was going to a therapist. And I'm going to a counselor, a therapist, to help me process my thoughts in my mind. And my therapist, I'm going to share this with everybody. He said, Travis, man, you have either A or Z. You go from one extreme to the other extreme. He said, you do not even count the other 24 letters in between. And with parents, a lot of times, we either it's really good or really bad.
That's right.
We don't account for... maybe they had a bad day. Maybe this. Maybe this. Maybe that. Maybe
we gotta go to P, not Z.
Yeah, we go straight from P to Z. We over everything. And for a parent to have to be humble to come back and say, "Hey, man, I had good intentions,
right?
But I didn't do it the right way. I was trying to help. I thought I was helping you that way." But I would really hurt you. And when a child comes to, and listen to parents, and when a child comes to tell you and say, hey, that's not really helping me. That's not helping how I feel inside. I need you to tell me this. I need you to walk me through this. Because in doing so, parents, you can walk your child through the pain that you had. You can help them through the pain that they're going through by allowing them to know how you walk through the pain that you had.
That's
keep
right.
it as a secret. Well, that was back then. No. That may have been back then for you, but it's right now and very present for me. And what you dealt with as a parent, it could help your child deal with what they're dealing with today. They may not have had social media back then, but people still talk. See, that's social right. media, Richard, you can talk on social media and you could be halfway across town. Back then, Richard, they just drive up to your house and talk to you in your face.
That's right.
So social media just replaced somebody burning gas and coming to your front door. But it's the same thing. The same way it hurt you when they came to you and confronted you face to face. It's the same way it confronts hurts them when they pop open a social media page and there it is right there on social media. It still That's hurts in the same way. So reconciliation doesn't always mean you did it wrong. It means I could have done it better. I could have done it differently. And we think reconciliation, Richard, means, oh, I didn't do anything wrong. Well, it means you could have done it differently. I could have educated myself and done things differently. Doesn't always mean you were in the wrong.
Yeah, I mean, the main thing about it is acknowledging, you know.
Exactly. That's what our kids want. That's all they want.
You know, we got to acknowledge when we blow it. It doesn't mean that they were right, you know. They might have been, you know, but maybe they're not. But it was how you handled it.
How you handled it.
And I've, you know, blown it myself many times, and sometimes I still do. But the key is acknowledging it. And then asking for forgiveness and having the humility to acknowledge that. And I'll tell you, Travis, that one thing right there goes a long way with kids and parents and relationship. It goes a long way. And too many, I'm sorry to say this, but I'm going to say it, too many parents are caught up in their pride and they don't have the humility and the integrity to just say, you know what? I was wrong in saying that. I shouldn't have said that.
Yep,
I'm sorry. Yep. Forgive me. Things like that.
Man, absolutely. Kids, man, listen, that will make their life a whole lot better with how they are processing things. Richard, I know you offer services to parents, caregivers alike, and who are willing, that's the key, who are willing to learn and provide healthy ways of interacting with their children and provide a different image that they see, the spitty images, who wants to really impact the spitty images that they see and who are willing to change that spitty image. How can you be contacted and all your services offered virtually as well? Because I know you're in California.
I'm in California, and it'd be simple. People can just, you know, go to my website, richardrramos.com. There it is right there on the screen. You can look at my books. You can buy the book. If you click on there, you'll see the book, Parents on a Mission. And everything I teach is in that book. And that's the reason I wrote it. You can get a free chapter if you want to read that first. Just there's a place for you to fill out your email, and I'll send you a free chapter. And then later on, if you want to buy it, you can buy the book. The other thing on there, if you wanted to become a parent mentor and join my team, there's an online course. That's something you have to pay for. But if you're not ready for that, you can at least start with the book. Also upcoming, I will be producing some online courses. Some of them will be free. Some of them will be pay. But that's another way that you can get more information on how we are helping families heal and get better and grow. So richardrramos.com. You can buy the book as well on Amazon if you want to do that. And one special feature, you can email me if you want to, ask me a question. But if you see, Travis, you see that little orange bubble there on my website down in the right-hand corner?
Right there.
You click on that. You can ask me any question you want, and it will answer you with – it'll be my voice. It'll be my answer. Those are called clones, you know, the AI world we live in. And so you can just ask me anything, and everything that I've written and all my videos and everything, it'll put together an answer for you that you need to be a little bit of help there as a resource.
Awesome. That is absolutely fantastic, Richard. I'm going to look into that parenting mentor program. That sounds very interesting. Sounds very, very interesting. And for all those who out there who say, hey, you know what? I want to impact my community. I want to impact my neighborhood. And maybe you can't maybe you can't get out and march or walk or do things like that. Maybe you can't do a whole lot of things physically. Maybe you're limited, maybe physically or financially or whatever. And say, but I do want to impact my neighborhood. I want to impact my community. I want to impact these children. What is something that I can do? Maybe you're out there and you're trying to find something that you can get involved in. Here's an option right here for you. Here is something right here you may want to consider and be a part of and help impact these children in a positive way and through things like that. And here's the website right there on your screen, guys. It's richardrramos.com right there.
Yeah, Richard R. Ramos. And also, Travis, if anybody's listening, if you belong to a agency, a school, you work in a prison with staff or jail or a church, what I do, I come out and I hold three-day certification trainings for mentors. And I train you in my curriculum, and then you are certified to teach the curriculum to the parents in your community, whether it be a school, a church, a prison, a jail, whatever. So I've trained thousands of people throughout the country and in different countries. And if you're interested in that, the program is online if you want to do it online. But what I'm saying is, if you're somebody who says, hey, we want to bring Richard in to train our staff.
Right, right.
Send me an email and we can talk about it offline.
That's fantastic. That's absolutely fantastic information, Richard. What is something, Richard, we talked about a lot today, but what is something you would like to say to encourage a parent or a caregiver that's listening or watching out there who says, man, this is hard. And it's a hard pill for me to swallow, man. It's tough. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. Everything's my fault. They always talk about the parent. Blah, always the parents. Always the parent. And when parents say that, I already know it's a trigger, and it's triggering something. I'm gonna let that go. It's triggering something. But what is something that you could say in closing that you would like to say to a parent, caregiver out there who's listening, who says, man, that it's hard and it's tough, but they want to do better to help move the needle for children who might even know somebody who's at risk. It might even be anyone in your home. It might be someone down the street. It might be your friend's child, your coworker's child, or someone they talk about all the time. What is something that you would say to encourage someone who's listening or watching who says they know someone or is tough but they want to do better?
Yeah, first of all, I would say this. Remember that we are not blaming parents.
Exactly.
But we are naming parents as the number one asset in the community. So remember that you are the most important person in the life of your child. The second thing I would say is focus on your personal growth. That is the key. Look within yourself. Focus on your image, as Travis talked about, the spitting image. Focus on that image and be honest about areas where maybe you need to be a little bit more patient. Maybe you need to be a little bit more generous. Maybe you need to be a little bit more understanding. Mm-hmm. And you recognize that because you were not given the chance to have a voice, as Travis mentioned, now you start realizing, okay, I need to let that go. Mm-hmm. That's the past, and start building my future today and tomorrow. And so for my book, We'll show you how to do that. That's one resource that you could have. There's other resources, but that's one resource. And the last thing I'll say is this, is don't give up.
Exactly.
Don't give up on your children or your child. Your child might have run away or might be, you know, in jail or prison or just out there doing things you don't want them to do. You know, I've experienced that. I know what that's like. It's very, very painful. But what I call that is the role of farmer. And as Travis said, it's hard work. What does a farmer do? It's hard work. But every year, without giving up on the land, they plow, they plant, they water, they cultivate. And there, because you do that, the law of the harvest is on your side. Whatever you plant, you're going to grow. What you sow, you're going to reap. The law of the harvest is on your side as long as you are consistent in plowing the ground, planting the seed, watering the seed, and cultivating. Now listen to this, and I'll end with this. This is the metaphor. The planting, the plowing is the confrontation of the heart of your son or daughter. You're not yelling and screaming at him, but you're telling him you're better than this. This is not who you are. You're not being who you really are, and you're planting a seed of positivity, even though they're living a negative life. The seed are the words that you use to say that. So instead of shaming them, you say it in a positive way. You are better than this.
Correct.
And that's the seed. The watering is anytime you can show some kind of affection, a high five, a fist pump,
exactly,
compliment them for what they've done, a good job on this or that. And then the cultivation is the same thing. The affirmation you give them, hey, good job. And when you're doing those things on a regular basis, the law of the harvest is on your side. The only hard part is, when are you going to see the harvest? That I cannot tell you. It could take weeks, it could take months, it could take years, but don't give up.
Man, Richard, that alone is worth the price of admission. That alone is worth parents saying, you know what? I'm going to do it. Richard, don't go nowhere. Stay where you are. Let me get us out of here, Richard. Guys, listen. Parents aren't perfect. In the history of parenting, and as long as there's been parents on this earth, parents aren't perfect. In the history of parenting, there has never been a perfect parent. Right now, there are parents and caregivers. We mentioned this earlier. Right now, I want to do something for every parent out there. I want to do something for every caregiver out there, whether you somebody's big mama, or whether you somebody's auntie or uncle or grandmother, or whether you are somebody's next door neighbor who took over the parenting duties, or maybe you're someone's best friend who had to take over the parenting duties because maybe the parents weren't able to do so. Maybe they were drug abusers, or maybe they were thrown in jail, but for whatever reason, you find yourself in this role as a parent role or a caregiver to this child. I want to do something for you right now. And maybe you were the oldest of your children, of the siblings, right? Maybe you were the oldest one of your brothers and your sisters. And mom and dad left to work and you had to take care of them before you could find out where you were ready. You had to take care of people and you still were a child yourself. You found yourself in a parent role and you were still a child. So I'm going to do something for every parent and every caregiver that has ever watched, just watching this show, that's listening. I'm going to do something for you right now. Right now, there are parents and caregivers listening that as a child, you were never allowed the freedom to express yourself emotionally or ideas freely without reprimand. You tell somebody you don't feel good, so what? Suck it up, rock it off. You never got a chance to express who you are emotionally. And as an adult, you find it even tougher to express yourself. I want to do something for you. You grew up emotionally distant from others, and they don't understand why you can't be compassionate toward them. They don't understand why you can't be really loving toward them. They don't understand why you can't be that, show them that love that you really need. You don't understand why they can't express what you need. And your voice was taken away from you. Every time you spoke up, they took your voice away. Every time as a child, you would say, mom or dad or auntie, I don't feel good. Or, I feel. Every time you spoke up about things, they took your voice away from you. Today, you get your voice back. Listen, if you have to hum, I don't care if you hum your favorite song. I don't care if you start humming the Star Spangled Banner. I don't care if you hum your favorite TV show tune, your favorite theme show, but hum something. Just start humming. It might be an old hymn. I don't care what it is. But if you have to hum, if you have to sing, but open your mouth and say your name. That's right. Type it in chat. Travis. Whatever your name is, say your name out loud because your voice matters. They may have taken your name, but today you get your voice back. Even have to just say your name. As a matter of fact, if you're watching this, say your name out loud. If you're driving in a car, say your name out loud and get your voice back. Maybe the spitting images we will begin to see in others can begin with the spitting images that we see about ourselves. Go ahead and get your voice back. Guys, I got to get out of here. But as always, in parting, don't forget that you can be here every Thursday, 6:30 p.m. Central, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, to listen to the show. And you can stream with us on your favorite podcast app form like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, and so many more. As I get out of here, as always, in parting, if you're going to tell me something, then tell me something good.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.